Know the truth.
Hey, gang! Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's the network you go to for really big shows about the important issues, and it's where you learn real stuff. It's good stuff, very thought-provoking. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send shekels, and go to nationalbugle.com where you download the co-certified app. And so while you're watching those really big shows, you can eat non-kosher certified food and be non-kosher certified yourself. I don't know. Mark Collett, do you get the reference of a really big shoe? Probably not.
I'm lost, Patrick. You've lost.
You know, the Beatles came over to the United States in 63 and then again in 64. I remember watching them in 64. I was a very small kid, but I remember watching them in 64. It was on the Ed Sullivan Show, and Ed Sullivan, he would always say, "Oh, tonight we have a really big shoe for you." A really big shoe. It sounded like shoe. It was show. And so that's what so the boomers out there might get it. But anyway,
I didn't get it, and I'm going to say something else.
Okay.
I never really liked the Beatles. I didn't like the Beatles. I didn't think they were great. I didn't think their music was great. I don't like them particularly as people. And I think they're one of those overrated bands that people go on about. And I've never got it. I've never got it at all. Now, I'm sure there's going to be people listening to this that are going to be like, "Oh my gosh, you're missing something." But I really, really don't see it. I've never enjoyed their music. And at one time, for my generation, when everyone was listening to a band called Oasis, Oasis claimed that the Beatles were one of their huge, huge influences, and they loved the Beatles, and they grew up with the Beatles, and they wanted to be like the Beatles, and they wanted to be the Beatles of this sort of day and age. And I didn't get it then, because some of my peers began listening to the Beatles and were like, "Oh, wow, you know, Oasis loved the Beatles, so we should listen to the beat." And I never got it then. A band I've never understood. And I understand some older bands. Like, I can listen to the Rolling Stones, and I think some of their music is fantastic. I can listen to Queen, classic British rock band. Their music, fantastic. But I am at an absolute, total, and utter loss when it comes to the Beatles.
Well, I will tell you that, first of all, there is no way a band can be as big as the Beatles and not be overrated, right? I mean, the Beatles, as John Lennon said, they were bigger than God. It was kind of a quip. And somebody said something about, "Well, okay, how many records has God sold?" But you can't be as big as the Beatles and not be overrated. And when I was a kid, you know, they were such a big deal. Everybody knew about the Beatles. And as a teenager, I listened to the Beatles. And then I think I listened myself out. And since I've been a teenager, I really haven't paid much attention to them. I think they had some good stuff. But it wasn't Andrew Anglin, but it was one of the people that used to write on the Daily Stormer. And he wrote once something like, "The day that John Lennon got shot was the greatest day of my life, even though I wasn't even born yet." Which, like, I don't approve of people getting shot, and I don't really like making fun of things like that. But you have to admit, that's kind of funny. "It was the greatest day of my life, even though I wasn't born yet."
I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to go that far.
I remember when you shot. And I was a John Lennon fan. And he was a stoner and everything, but, you know. But we're not here to talk about the Beatles. But I thought that was funny.
I just don't get it. I don't get the music. And I remember as a child listening to songs like Yellow Submarine, and to me they sounded like nursery rhymes. They didn't sound like adult music. And I was obviously an 80s child. I'm 40 now, so I was brought up in the 80s, born in 1980. And we were listening to music like Michael Jackson. I remember my dad had Michael Jackson Bad. That was the album that I remember listening to in the 80s. And then I graduated to Guns N' Roses, and I listened to Queen, as I said, a classic British rock band. And all of those artists or bands had music that really, really got me going. But the Beatles, as I said, you listen to stuff like Yellow Submarine, and it sounded like a children's nursery rhyme. And the idea that these people sold millions of albums and were the biggest thing ever with music like that, I just didn't understand it. And to this day, I don't.
Okay. Well, maybe it was a giant conspiracy.
Conspiracy to buy bad music.
Okay. So anyway, here's the thing. We're not here to talk about the Beatles. And that just kind of came up by random, and I think it's time to put it away. But we have important things to talk about today. And, you know, here's the dilemma that we face. We face this dilemma, you and I, people who are trying to educate the population about what's really going on. Because, you know, and I know we have pretty similar viewpoints. The way I put it is our society is run by a Jewish-dominated elite, right? Not everybody in the elite's Jewish. Not all Jews are in the elite. But I think in order to understand the way our societies are being run, the crazy things that are being done to us, you have to understand, you know, the role of like Jewish ethnic animosity towards white people. The thing is, this is something that's like, it's taboo. You're not allowed to talk about it. And there's all these different narratives about what's going on in society. And so for you or I to go to people and say, you know, all this stuff that you hear on the news, all this stuff that you get in academia about society, about white privilege, about so many things, about the coronavirus, it's all lies, you know? Okay, so the people that listen to us then are people who are willing to accept that authorities lie about really fundamental important things. Okay, good. So we have, but the dilemma is that people who are willing to entertain alternative ideas about, you know, like given truths handed down to you, are also willing to believe that gravity doesn't really exist, that the world is flat. I mean, they're open-minded to the most basic things about physics or biology or other things. So it's kind of, I mean, there is this self-selection. We naturally get people who are willing to question very basic things, but because they're willing to question very basic things about politics, they're also willing to question very basic things about other fundamental issues. Am I onto something here? And you probably have a better way of putting it. Let's hear it.
Well, I think there are obviously conspiracies. There are obviously conspiracies against our people. But the problem arises with analysing these conspiracies when, firstly, the conspiracy becomes too ridiculously big, becomes so ridiculously big that the entire world would need to. So the majority of people are in on the conspiracy, and it's only a minority of people who are not in on the conspiracy. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's have a look at Flat Earth. Let's have a look at Flat Earth. Now, if you look at, and I'm going to call it in very loose terms, the Flat Earth theory, because it's absolutely nonsensical. It's not even a theory. It's not even a workable theory. And by a workable theory, for a workable theory, you need a model. And that model needs to explain everything that we see in terms of the sunrise, the sunset, the lunar cycle, the seasons, temperature differentials. It needs to explain the differing day lengths at different times of the year and how those day lengths differ in different parts of the world at different times of the year. It has to explain lunar eclipse. It has to explain solar eclipse. It has to explain the new moon, the full moon, all of it. It has to explain it all. Now, if you look at the current, well, when I say the current, the truth, if you look at the truth, if you look at the globe model, the globe is a model. It is, if you want to call it a theory, it's a theory that explains all of those things, and it has a functional model. Now, Flat Earth not only doesn't have a functional model, there is no model that Flat Earthers have that explains all of those things at once. They suggest explanations for those things, but none of the explanations work together to form a working model, and that's very important. But we knew that the world was round back in the days of the ancient Greeks. The ancient Greeks understood the world was round. They understood this because they carried out basic scientific tests that showed the way the sun was moving. So if, or not the sun was moving, the way the earth was moving around the sun, the way the sun was moving in the sky relative to us, you could tell that it wasn't in fact the sun moving. It was us moving around the sun, and we lived on a spherical object. We lived on the globe. Now, if you look at that as a conspiracy theory, and I'm going to call it a conspiracy theory because it is a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy. It's not like white genocide, which is an actual proven conspiracy. This is a conspiracy theory. But when you look at this, if we knew the world was round from the time of the ancient Greeks, why today are people saying that the Earth is flat? Well, they're saying that, I believe, because they're either genuinely so open-minded that their brains have fallen out of their heads, or they are people who realize that there are gullible people out there that will buy into any of these conspiracy theories because they're that open-minded, that there's money to be made, and these people are making lots of money with what seems like certain convincing arguments. But if you scratch the surface, and getting to your point on Flat Earth, if you scratch the surface with Flat Earth theory, the conspiracy would be that big, and it would stretch back that far, and it would involve that many people.
Yeah.
That, number one, it would be completely impossible. It would be completely impossible for that many people to be involved in a conspiracy.
And Newton was involved in it. You know, Kepler was involved in it. Galileo was. They've all been involved in it.
Hitler. The North Koreans, the Soviets, the Chinese, the Iranians, the Saudis, Israel, America, every nation, every world leader, everyone's been involved. Gaddafi, all of them have been involved. Every space program's involved, every airline's involved, the world's military involved because they're out at sea constantly with the world's biggest fleet, preventing anyone reaching the ice walls at the edge of the big space pizza. And millions of people are involved. Millions of people are involved on these ships guarding the ice wall. Millions of people, well, millions more are involved on the upkeep of these ships, on the shipyards. Shipyards we don't know anything about.
And here's the thing, Mark.
Goes further. A couple more seconds. This goes further. All right. There's all these millions of people involved, and then you've got the millions of people with the airlines. You've got the millions of people who work in phone technology. You've got all the fake space launches. You've got all the fake satellite launches. The International Space Station. Everything we know. All the people at the TV companies. All the people in the media. All the people pushing the narratives, all the people in schools, all the people in the globe who manufacture and sell globes. There is millions, if not billions, of people involved in these conspiracies. And there's a vast amount of wealth going in them to sustain them. There's no real reason this would be taking place either. No real reason at all. Because usually there'd be a motive behind a conspiracy. And you can obviously give a clear motive behind the conspiracy of white genocide, but there's no real motive behind having a flat earth, fooling everyone into thinking the world's round when really it's flat. But the point that I'm getting at is, if this actually was a conspiracy, if this really was a conspiracy and the Earth was flat and we were being made to believe it was round and there was millions, if not billions, of people guarding this secret from us, including all the world leaders and everything, it would actually mean that resistance was genuinely futile.
Mm-hmm.
It would mean there would be no point in actually fighting back, because mm-hmm. it would be like saying, have you seen the film The Truman Show?
Yes.
Now, The Truman Show would be an example of a flat Earth style conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Now, for those mm-hmm. who haven't seen The Truman Show, it's actually a really good film. It's a film I really enjoyed. And yeah. it stars Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is Mr. Truman. And Truman lives in a small town in America. And everyone in the small town is an actor. It's a social experiment. He was born as a child and raised by parents who were actors. And he met people through his life who had interactions with him who were actors and actresses. And he lives forever in this small town in America, believing everything is real, but it's not. Everything is filmed. It's like one 24/7 reality TV show that stars this unknowing person, but everyone around him are actors and actresses. Everything's filmed, it's all produced, it's all cut, it's all put together into a narrative, and people all over the world enjoy watching The Truman Show. It's the world's biggest TV show. You watch a guy's life play out for real, and they manipulate things to make it more interesting. They manipulate his love interests, they manipulate the ups and downs in his life, so you find out. So his emotions, to a degree, are manipulated for everyone's amusement. But The Truman Show would be an example of an improbable conspiracy. But if you believe in flat Earth, you're essentially saying that there's a Truman Show-style conspiracy, in effect, where there are billions of people in on some incredible conspiracy to stop the other billions of people not knowing the truth. And every world government, every world leader, all of them are in on it. And the level of cooperation and the level of people not speaking is absolutely vast. That is impossible. But if it was possible, it would actually be a situation which would make fighting back against it virtually pointless.
Right.
And I think some people fashion these conspiracy theories to make people feel absolutely helpless, to make people feel as if there's no fighting back. Now, I believe there is a conspiracy against our people, but not in every single government of the world is in on it. There are governments of the world that actually speak out against this conspiracy. Recently, you've had Russia speak out of it. You've had the Iranian establishment several times talking about lies that are used to spread white guilt. And I believe that our conspiracy, or the conspiracy that threatens white people, actually hangs by a thread and that we can defeat it. But to believe in these ridiculous conspiracy theories, I think actually steals people's agency and robs them of their belief that there's any point fighting.
Well, here's the thing. If we as individuals figure out that there is this giant conspiracy and so many people are in on it, we can be smugly above it all. We can't do anything about it, but we're above it. That means we've won, right? Because we're above it, and we're smug. Isn't it like the kind of like the ultimate purity spiraling or something? Or virtue signaling? There's nothing you can do, but you're above it. You figured it out. You figured them out, so you won.
Well, that's the thing.
Stop it, but you've figured it out, and you can be smug.
Well, that's the thing with all of this. If you actually do genuinely believe in your heart of hearts that the world is flat and that there have been billions of people working together, keeping their silence and agreeing to hold this conspiracy in place, it actually makes you powerless. And the only power you can gain is just the power of knowledge, but you will never ever fight back. And we're trying to get people to fight back. I think that's an important difference.
I think so. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. Okay, so Flat Earth. I don't want to go too much on Flat Earth, but I'm amazed. I have a good friend who suddenly has taken a bit of an interest in it to the extent where he wants to do some measurements. I was looking on, and here's the thing. You and I have our work cut out for us as it is, trying to get the word out about, say, white genocide, for instance. And also earn a living, an honest living, because you can't earn a living talking about Jewish power, right? Really, I'd rather not be distracted by the moon landing or flat Earth or things like that. But every now and then, or the United States having been turned into a corporation in 1871, so there. I'd rather not have to spend time doing that because time's limited. But I was looking at these, what people think of as research is just looking on the internet and saying, well, this person's an expert and he raises these questions, you can do the math. The math is out there. And like looking across Lake Michigan to Chicago and you can see skyscrapers, but with the curvature of the earth, you shouldn't be able to see it. But of course, if you do the math, A, you can see it. You should be able to see at least the upper floors of these skyscrapers, depending on whether if you're standing actually like neck deep in Lake Michigan, if that's your vantage point, But if you're actually standing on the land somewhat above the shoreline, then you would see a lot more. But then also, light doesn't travel in a straight line necessarily, because it bends going through different substances. Like everybody's seen a mirage on a hot day. That's when the light is bending away from the Earth, and it looks like it's a reflection. It looks like a mirror. It looks like it's bouncing off. But it's not. It's because the light's just not traveling straight. That's on a hot day when you're looking over hot pavement. If you're looking over a colder body of water, it bends in the other way. And so you'd be able to actually see lower down on the skyscrapers than you would expect. But anyway, enough of that. Regarding, Jewish power or Israeli power or whatever, whether it's talking about Gaza and Hamas being run by Israel, or China being run by Israel or run by the Jews, or Trump being run by the Jews, everything's run by the Jews. At some point, if Hamas and Trump and Iran and China and all these people are actually run by the Jews, is there any point in us doing anything? I mean, if it's and they've always been run by the Jews, they always get their way and they always win. At what point do we just say, well, if you can't beat them, join them?
Well, you see, I do actually think we are in a position where we can actually prove there is a conspiracy. We can actually say there are a number of people involved in that conspiracy. We can actually demonstrably prove why they're involved in that conspiracy. We can present facts and evidence that they are incorrect in what they are saying. We can point to other world governments that have spoken out about this particular agenda, and we can show that around the world people are fighting back against it and having different degrees of success. And I think that puts us in a very different position to, say, flat earthers. And I think it's very, very important that we do actually differentiate ourselves from from conspiracy theorists, because we aren't conspiracy theorists. And I think it's very, very important for us as a group to ensure that we don't muddy what we're saying with these giant conspiracy theories or these nonsensical and rubbishy ideas and insane theories that are put forward by other people and can sometimes creep into the the fringes of our movement. And I do believe that when we put things forward, we should do so in a way that shows people who are buying into what we're saying that we as a group actually do have a plan. We as a group can promote genuine hope, that we have a plan that can make people's life better, that we can involve people in a means of fighting back against the system, and that we can actually make progress. And even if we're only making progress on a very small local level, it is still progress. It's still bringing people together. It's still making lives better for people. It's still advancing our cause on a micro level rather than at a macro level. And I think that's all very important. And something else as well about the flat earth nonsense. It was Stefan Molyneux who actually said this. So I can't take credit for it. But Stefan Molyneux did point out something very important. He said, there are so many things going wrong in the world today. There are so many things that threaten our individual freedoms, our liberty, our freedom of association, our freedom of speech. At this point, what great difference would it make whether we lived on a globe or a flying space piece? The problem is our loss of liberty and freedom of speech.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're up on the next break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back. And so there's a few thoughts I've had recently, or that I've heard recently, that is interesting. One was the host on the program before mine, Richard Carey, who hosts Beyond the Official Narrative. He recently said on one of his shows, "We have a hard enough time convincing people about the most important issues where we have the most evidence," meaning why should we waste time on things that aren't as important where we don't have as much evidence, right? And, you know, just the moon landing. What would be the point of faking the moon landing? Would it be to make white people think that they actually are capable of accomplishing things when they're not, but they want to just make us feel better? I mean, I don't get that.
Well, that's another interesting thing. And again, I can't take any actual credit for this, because this was actually Arthur Kemp who said this to me. He said, "We are such incredible people that we actually put a man on the moon. That's how incredible we are. People of European descent have this unrivaled ability to look at something and not just stare in wonderment, but to reach out and grasp it. We don't just look to the stars, but we have sent devices to the stars. We didn't just look at the moon, we put men on the moon. But equally, not only are we those amazing, intelligent, creative, pioneering people, but we're also the only people who would achieve something of that magnitude and then try to prove that we never achieved it, to call it a conspiracy theory, to tear down our own greatest achievements. But that is what we do. And I think that analysis is actually very, very deep, because not only is it incredibly deep as an analysis, but it actually speaks to something deep inside our people, that we are so ready to tear down ourselves. We are so ready to pour scorn on our achievements. We as a people are very, very ready to decide that everything that we have done is actually all for naught. Everything that we've done doesn't actually count. And I suppose in some ways that actually dovetails with white guilt, with self-hatred. We are so quick to despise ourselves. We are so quick to tear down our own achievements, to say that we are the bad guys, to present ourselves as the bad guys in our own narrative, when in fact, time and again, we're not only the good guys, but we are very, very good at being the good guys. And I think that's a very important thing to note.
Indeed. So here's another one. I think this is something I've been saying recently. We have to pick and choose our battles without conceding the battles we choose not to fight. Frankly, I'd rather not be talking about the moon landing or the flat earth or 1871 or things like that. We do need to prioritize things, and we are at... I mean, we have our backs to the wall, don't we? And we need to focus on what's important. At the beginning of the show, I said something about people who are willing to look past the official narrative on race, on, you know, white privilege, on things like that. They're open-minded, and is that a double-edged sword? Because they're going to be open-minded about a lot of other things that are going to wind up being big distractions for them.
Well, I think you're correct. I think that is a problem. I think that some of our people start looking at race, and then they start looking at other issues, and they then open their minds to things which are just nonsensical, because they find that it's almost like they throw the baby out with the bathwater. They find that something is wrong in our society, and there are plenty of things wrong in our society. That is 100% factual. But they see something wrong in society. They see something going wrong in our everyday lives. But after doing that, after finding that wrong, they then look further and say, well, actually, every little thing is wrong. Every little thing is a conspiracy. Everything around us is fashioned in some way to be this incredible conspiracy. And I think that's a very dangerous thing. And I don't think it's a positive thing. I don't think it's a positive place to be. I think it's a horrible place to be mentally. And I think it leaves people in, as I say, in this position that actually makes them feel helpless. It leaves them in a position that makes them feel like it's not worth fighting. But I think also some people adopt certain conspiracy theories because there are socially acceptable conspiracy theories in today's world. So if you accept the David Icke nonsense that actually the Queen is a giant 8-foot shape-shifting lizard creature, as ridiculous as that may sound, and it is ridiculous, it is absolutely nonsensical. But if you do take that on board, if you take that on board as gospel, that the Queen is this shape-shifting lizard woman thing from out of space, that is actually more socially acceptable than saying that Jews control the media. That's more socially acceptable in many circles than saying there are racial differences in IQ. It's more socially acceptable than saying mass immigration is leading to the rape of British girls. If you were sat at a dinner party and you quipped that you thought there was something in the theory that the Queen might be a shape-shifting lizard, everyone would laugh politely. A few people might think you're quirky. A few people might think you're a little bit wacky. But you probably wouldn't be asked to leave. But if you were at a dinner party and you stood up or you started to say, you know what, I actually think the Jews have a massive, massively disproportionate role in running the media. I think there are racial differences in IQ. And if you look at IQ differentials across different countries, you can see that IQ by race or ethnicity is a very important dividing factor. And we know low IQ people are more likely to be massively overrepresented when it comes to impulsive or violent crime and criminality. If you said that, you'd probably get asked to leave. People say, look, we don't want you at the dinner table. We don't want you talking to us. These are unacceptable viewpoints. So I do think as well that there are actually certain conspiracies or conspiracy theories which are actually 110%, if you like, kosher. You are actually allowed to espouse them without the kind of social condemnation.
Case in point, David Icke makes a pretty good living doing what he's doing.
Exactly. Until very recently, when David Icke started speaking out against coronavirus, which is now a huge taboo, he was actually allowed to book out things like the O2 Arena. You could have, two nights at the O2 Arena with David Icke. You know, that was actually, he'd do a two-night speaking tour at the O2 Arena or a big venue in the north, like Manchester Arena or somewhere like that. And I mean, I could Google this now. I'm sure it was quite recently, definitely in the last 10 years, where he spoke at these venues. Now, I wouldn't be able to book these venues.
No. And here's another case in point. There was, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, there's a French comedian. He's half African. His name's Dudonné. And about, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, just David Icke spoke at the O2 Apollo in Manchester in 2017. He spoke at the O2 Academy in Brixton in 2016. He spoke at the SSE Arena in Wembley in 2014. You know, this guy was speaking at very, very prestigious event, very, very prestigious venues all over Britain until relatively recently. Now, I remember back in, say, 2009, the British National Party had MEPs. Now, if a British National Party MEP, an elected official, elected representative of the British people, had tried to book those venues, we would have been told, absolutely not. You are absolutely not going to run an event at a venue like this. And if we'd have tried to do this and the venue had actually been strong, if the venue had been good, if the venue had been decent and said, you know what, we are going to support your right to freedom of speech, do you know what would have happened? That venue would have been attacked. They would have been, their offices would have been attacked, their venue would have been attacked on the night of the venue. There would have been thousands of Antifa and left-wing protesters and non-white protesters surrounding the venue, stopping people going in. All of this would have led to questions in Parliament about the venue owners allowing such a thing to go on. And I can tell you this now, Patrick, would never have happened. It would have never happened. And even if it got past the booking stage, which I don't believe it would have done, but even if it got past the booking stage, do you know what would have happened? The people who would have been in charge of the booking would have had to go back on it, and they would have been probably fired, and there would have been questions asked of them, as I said, most likely in Parliament, where somebody would have said, you know what? Somebody needs the sack here. Who's getting the sack for allowing this event to be booked? But as recently as 2017, David Icke speaking at these big venues. He won't be now because he spoke out against coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Now, coronavirus is, again, that is a conspiracy. It is very real. It is very provable. I have done numerous videos exposing facts and data on all of that. So that is real and provable. But again, when David Icke does speak about coronavirus, he actually says, look, people are getting ill and it's the 5G towers causing it, which again, I start to roll my eyes because I don't see any link between 5G towers and coronavirus. And then people say
5G is its own problem. I can understand being opposed to 5G, but this business about 5G,
but is 5G a health problem or is it a spying problem?
It potentially could be a health problem, not because of the uptake of oxygen, because of certain wavelength or whatever, but because it's got a very short wavelength and it doesn't travel very far, and so you have the and short wavelengths are more energetic, and you have to have the towers closer together, and so it could be a health hazard that way. Maybe not.
Do you know what I think it is? Do you know what I think the problem with this is? I don't think it's a health hazard, but I think because it carries the less data carried, the longer the wavelength can be. The more data carried, the shorter the wavelength has to be. And the shorter the wavelength, the more towers you have. And the more towers you have, the greater the network is and the greater the density of the network is. And I believe 5G poses a massive threat to us, not because I think it's going to start gobbling up oxygen and causing us all to drop dead, but I think 5G will create this incredibly dense network of mobile towers and receivers, which will basically be able to track you, not to a rough kilometer by kilometer box, but pretty much to the spot you're standing in every minute of the day. I think what we're allowing is a partially government-funded rollout of what will be the ultimate piece of spyware or network for spying. And we've seen throughout this coronavirus scamdemic, because as I said, I totally think this is a nonsense, but what we've seen throughout this is we've seen this this growth of the state's ability to not only spy on us, but to get other people to spy on us on their behalf, snitch on us. And I think we're actually moving into an era here in the UK where ultimately we're going to actually face a time very, very soon where everybody is going to be spied on to an unprecedented level. And I think 5G will play a part in that. Do I think that 5G is going to start frying our brain cells and causing us to drop dead in the street with coronavirus style symptoms? No, I don't. And interestingly, I think if that was the case, and bear with me on this, because I think I'm onto something here, Patrick. I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm not. But
you often are, listener.
Sorry?
You often are. So let's hear it.
Well, these towers are all completely concentrated in the most liberal and packed multicultural areas of the UK. So if 5G is about to fry all of our skulls, the place 5G is most prevalent and most most completely concentrated is actually London. So what these conspiracy theorists are saying is 5G is going to fry the brains of people living around the towers, but all the towers are in liberal areas full of the financial and global elite and ethnic minorities.
You see, the elite are the real racists. There you go. Check and mate.
But they're not only the real racists, but after they've got rid of all of the non-whites with the 5G towers, they who also live in places like London will die as well. So they are going to wipe out the vast majority of ethnic minorities in Britain with 5G towers. And then once they've done that, they themselves will die because they live in those areas too, thus cleansing the UK of all nearly all ethnic minorities, but also all liberals and powerful politicians, financiers, media, celebrities, etc., etc. Do you think that's a likelihood, Patrick?
That's just how cunning they are.
Oh, God. But the thing is, this is why, I've got to say this, this is why there's a big difference between genuine conspiracies and conspiracy theories. Because if you actually think that this is a viable conspiracy, that the global elite who all live in places like London are rolling these things out to kill the people, well, unless they're all living in lead-lined houses that prevents any of these 5G waves getting in there, they're dying as well.
Okay, well, we are up at the break. We'll be right back after these important messages.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, and okay, I think we've learned something today about conspiracies versus conspiracy theories. I think we need to start doing research that's not just simply looking at what other people say on the internet, but maybe going to original sources, going to to the actual text of laws, or going to the mathematical formulas, actually doing some math, things like that. Anyway, Mark, you've got two weekly shows that you produce yourself, aside from other people's shows that you help out with, that you are guests on. So you've got the Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday, and you usually have an interesting guest. A couple of weeks ago, you had a very interesting guest, as a matter of fact, talking about this horrible Biden administration executive order. That was very interesting. And then also on Fridays, you do often a mini documentary or sometimes a live stream. So what do you have in store for your audience this week?
Well, last week was a very, very big week. And last week I did two large pieces about the conflict in Israel. On Wednesday night on Patriotic Weekly Review, we had Syrian Girl and a replay of that.
She's great.
Was very good. And she wants to come on your show as well, Patrick. So you need to give me your email so I can pass it to her.
I will absolutely.
Syrian Girl is absolutely lovely. She came on the show. We had 2 hours, even though it was very, very early in the morning for about 2 a.m. We had 2 hours where we discussed plenty of different things. It was absolutely wonderful. The replay is the best on BitChute and Odyssey. And then I've got a BitChute exclusive video up at the moment called Israel, a State Founded on Terrorism. Now, that's one of my shorter scripted videos. It's only 8 minutes long. I don't know if you've had time to have a look at it yet, but it discusses the foundation of Israel and how Israel was founded on terrorism, and not just terrorism directed at Palestinian Arabs, but terrorism directed at the British people and British service personnel. So both of those videos are very, very important, and I really, really do urge all of your listeners, Patrick, if they can, just to go to my BitChute, go to my Odyssey, sub them both, and please support videos like that, because it's a lot harder for us at the moment because of the massive deplatformings we've faced. It's a lot more difficult than it's ever been before for our people. And, you know, at one time, PWR was getting 20 to 50,000 views per week on YouTube. Now it's split over numerous platforms. It's on Odyssey, it's on BitChute, and it's on Radio Albion. Plus, some people kindly upload it to podcast sites as well. But my videos now are scattered everywhere, and they don't get the kind of exposure they used to. So if people can support them, it is really, really appreciated. And for you, it's just one little click. Just that one little click of subscribing to me. For you, it's one little click. But for me, it means a great deal, because I spent a long time building up that 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, and to see it be taken away from me and end up, you know, with 20 some odd thousand on BitChute and just 4,500 on Odyssey, it is slightly irritating. I'm rebuilding, but I really do appreciate all the support you guys have given me. And if you haven't started following me on those platforms yet, please consider doing so.
Yeah, did you get kicked off because you were talking about the moon landing being faked or something like that, or was it for some other reason?
I got kicked off for talking about demographic change in the UK.
Oh, well. You live and learn. All right, well, I guess you won't be doing that again. all right, well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you. It's been amazing, and I really look forward to seeing you same time next week, my friend.
I do too. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.